Hello and welcome to the Exiled Eagles podcast, where we hope to give you a different perspective on all things Palace. So, on with the show.
Hello and welcome to the Exiled Eagles podcast, sponsored by Top Corner Recruitment. We're sat around here with sore legs and a few sore heads from playing the Renf match yesterday, and then staying up to the wee hours to watch the West Ham game, but more about both of those later. First up, let me introduce my panel. I am Tony King, and I'm sat here with Dale Quarterly.
Hello, everyone.
Mark Werner.
Hello, folks. How are we?
And then up in the central coast, we've got Rob Seltzer.
Good morning.
Just a quick overview, basically, on this podcast. We are not based in the UK. We're based here in Australia. And we just thought we'd sort of do a podcast that gives a bit of a different spin on all things Palace. Over here, we don't really have all the sort of the noise that they have in the UK. You know, we don't have Sky Sports, don't have Match of the Day, we don't have the newspapers. So all we can go on is the games that we see and sort of what we say to each other, basically. So yeah, I guess first up, let's everyone introduce themselves. So Dale, how did you get from Selhurst Park to Sydney?
By plane. Sorry, someone had to do it. No, so I've been out here for about 9 years. Big Palace fan back home, used to go every time I wasn't playing football when I wasn't playing myself. Used to love it, sit at the half away at my old man. First game against Forest, drew to all, Nigel Martin was in goal. Brilliant, loved it, took from then. And then moved over to Sydney 9 years ago. Found out about the supporters club, haven't looked back since.
Great. And Rob, you're up in the Central Coast, used to be Sydney based. Tell us your story.
Yes, I've been here. This is now 7 years. Came out here an eligible bachelor, and now I've ruined my life with a wife and two kids. but based in Essex, so the reason I support Palace is my dad was from Glasgow, and everyone in Scotland used to have a team in England, and everyone was supporting your Spurs, Arsenal, United, those type of guys. My dad closed his eyes, put his finger on the map, and Palace were the closest team. My first game, I reckon, was Southend away, which was probably like a home game for me, for where I live. 1-1-0, Chris Armstrong, and just like Dale, that was it. Palace bug properly in. Would get to sell us at least 3 or 4 times a season, and now doing the ungodly thing of watching us get spanked home and away at 2 o'clock in the morning.
We know that feeling well, unfortunately. And so Mark, you're a little bit different. You are an actual native,
born and bred, mate. Here in Australia, from Gold Coast originally, now residing in Brisbane.
The question I suppose on everyone's lips is, if you're Australian, why? Why do you do it to yourself? Why Palace?
Why on earth do you support Crystal Palace? It's a question I've answered many times. Long story short, mate, moved over to London in 2004, doing the Aussie thing, the 2-year working holiday visa over there, and mate had no interest in football at all. I knew of Crystal Palace and the Premier League. That was about it. And was just a local team. Went down with my cousin's boyfriend on a cold, rainy Tuesday night and was just playing Birmingham, I think. I'm not sure. We had Popper running around for us. He was a captain at the time. I think he banged one in that night. And down the Holmesdale end, mate. And, yeah, just fell in love instantly. I thought, well, this is it. This is my mob. Rightly or wrongly.
Mainly wrongly.
That's it, mate. Palace till I die now, so
good
effort,
mate.
Love it.
Yeah, and Mark, I suppose you sort of run the Brisbane Sports Club, is that fair to say?
By default, mate, I'm club president of the Brisbane Supporters Group. That all kicked off a few years ago by Andy Astle, who's now gone back and living home in your motherland. And, mate, I just run into him going to Brisbane Raw games in the A-League. I used to have me kid on, and he always come up and give me a pat on the back, and we'd have a bit of a chat about how we're going at the time. And then, you know, with Facebook and pages and all that, he kicked off the Brisbane Supporters Group. And I think he moved back 2015, mate, and I was pretty much making an appearance at most things. So, had it bestowed upon me. I mean, it's just, get the boys out and have a laugh and a few beers and watch the footy and lament what could have been usually. we're a few years strong now. A couple hundred on the page and make big games. We get a few out for it, so all very good.
Yeah, it's good. So, people listening around the world, you have to appreciate the sort of dedication you need to support Crystal Palace from Australia. A usual kickoff time is 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
So you really need to be committed to sort of head down a pub. And invariably, if the game's starting at 2 o'clock in the morning,
you've
been out. Yeah, you've been out before. Basically, that's it, Rob. You've been out beforehand, and definitely by sort of 4 o'clock when the game's finishing, it's... yeah, it's another world.
Lights out.
Yeah, it really is. Sunday's all over. But yeah, you have some good times. And like I can safely say, sort of, I didn't really know anyone from the sort of supporters group when I sort of first got it all together. And now they're sort of like genuine mates, you know. It's had some real good sort of life experiences with everyone. So yeah, I mean, I guess the general question is, do you enjoy the experience of watching Palace overseas? You know, do you find it a real struggle or does it bother you? Or do you just sort of suck it up, put up with it?
I'll be honest, I bloody love it. It's better than watching it back home. And I think it's because you've got a lot of like-minded individuals. The number of times I'm pictured, I've seen of myself and Tony stood there, cross-armed, sour-faced, looking at the screen. It's just brilliant.
Stupid o'clock.
It's absolutely brilliant. Love it. Whereas I've been to games. The last game I went to was we beat Newcastle 5-1. And I had a guy stood behind me in Holmesdale slating every single player. We're winning 5-1. And just some people just don't get it. I mean, I love it. I love the whole the mateship, very Aussie phrase, the mateship of getting together with different people, blurry eyed. I mean, you know, I said to my missus yesterday when we got up to watch the playoff semi final. I mean, we beat Brighton. That was before work, 5 o'clock in the morning. I measured that before going to work and. You just don't get it, happens like that back home. We don't get it. I think it's brilliant. Best thing.
Yeah, I agree. But there's something special about being in a pub at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday morning.
There is. Very much so. Very much.
How about yourself, Mark?
Yeah, probably just to you guys, obviously being born and bred back home and growing up with the Premier League and so forth, you can appreciate the vast difference it is out here supporting it and so forth. I'm cut from sort of a different cloth. I got into it there, but supporting it here, it's kind of all I've known, but like Dale said, I think it A, being a Palace supporter, and B, the hours it requires from you and so forth, that certainly separates the wheat from the chaff, mate. And you know, anyone there is wants to be there. You don't just want to pass and go, I'll pop in and watch the game, you know. So yeah, you get a steely resolve amongst all of you, and likewise, mate, made friends for life. I've got friends back in the UK, people I met abroad that I'm in touch with now. And obviously, I don't have any experience with other clubs, but I'm yet to meet a Palace supporter I didn't like or couldn't have a good yarn with, you know, some more so than others, but just generally a very likeable bunch of people, and it's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, I agree. Anything to add, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I love it. I think both Mark and Dale put it very eloquently. It's very much that we choose to do it. You know, when you're in England, it's this the type of thing you take it for granted. It's there every week. You go, it's part of your Saturday routine. It's... you get up, you have your breakfast, you do whatever, you get down the pub, you go to the Palace, go out in the evening. Where it's here, it's like you have your whole Saturday, you do your thing, you know, you might go home, have dinner, maybe even have a sleep, and then you get up at silly o'clock in the morning to go and watch Palace because you choose to do it, and everyone else in the pub has chosen to do it. So yeah, we're there bitching and moaning about players and stuff, but as, you know, we're all feeling the same. We're there because we want to do it, we're mates, it's good fun, like the band's is flowing, especially when you get the opposition fans in the pub because they're in the exact same spot as you are. They've got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch their team. So
great.
You always find that it's great fun when you've got, especially now, you know, the playoff final when we had 120 in the pub and there's like those three Watford guys. I mean, fair play for them to turning up. But, you know, songs going to and fro and there was never, ever a hint of trouble because it wasn't like that. It's not like that out here. It's everyone knows the struggle that it is to watch football over here.
Yeah,
great point. Yeah.
And it's real good fun. I really enjoy it when both sets of fans are in the pub. Look, if you win, it's the best. You can give it. If you lose, it is the worst because you're going to cop it. But it's great fun during the game.
I'll just add one other thing to that. The big difference for me is now in the Premier League, whatever, so that's great. We want to stay and watch the games, you can. They're always on. But when we were in the Championship, let me tell you, I mean, it was one match in every four or five. We were quite lucky. Because we were on TV quite a lot. Glenn Murray banging them in. Jednak, the Aussie connection. But yeah, you really thought to yourself, I'm not going to get a chance to see them again. So unless I go down the pub, it's just you went down to see them. she made it. It made you feel better. It made you feel better watching it.
Yeah, without a doubt, they were the most fun nights, I think.
Yeah,
those.
Definitely.
I think I might just be telling myself that because we're going down.
the good old championship days.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I guess we'll just wrap up part one there. And yeah, we'll be back for part two soon.
Cool. Cheers.
Hello and welcome back to the Exiled Eagles podcast, sponsored by Top Corner Recruitment. So we were up at the wee hours last night. It was a 1 a.m. kickoff for the West Ham game. We had a bit of a struggle trying to find a pub that was showing it. Had a bit of a walk around Sydney. Ended up in a dingy little place called the Agincourt, but it had it on the big screen, so we managed to watch the game. I would say unfortunately for 45 minutes and then fortunately for another 45 minutes. I guess general thoughts, Mark, what do you reckon of the West Ham game?
Look, I remember bits and pieces. I was on a harbour cruise for the 4-hour lead-up where drinks were flowing and good times being had. But
you don't get anchored in the harbour cruise, obviously.
No, it was very nice, mate. And I'd never been out on Sydney Harbour, oddly enough. Been an Aussie, but whatever. The match, I mean, it was... We seem to say it every week. It was just textbook Palace, wasn't it? It's like we enjoy struggling or, bringing our supporters to tears and doing it the hard way. Currently supporting Australia, struggling through their World Cup qualification process. So it's almost a mirror image for club and country for me at the moment. So I kind of don't know any different. But, I don't know where the 6 minutes came from, injury time in the second half, and we needed all of them and one more to bring it home and salvage a point. But, just we were saying here, previous is ridiculous. Like, people are having a bit of a dip in form or this and that, but, turn up to Selhurst and just have a day out. And, that happened last night.
And is a point enough, Dale, do you reckon?
No. It's tough. You want to say it's a point gained because we were losing that game. We were out. We were dead and buried. It's a point gained, but it gives us 4 points for the season. And, you think West Ham were not a very good team. Simple as. They were not very good as well as we played. And credit where it's due, we played very well. More so than we played badly, but no. But with games like that, we've got to be coming away with 3 points.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Rob? Sort of great to get that last minute equaliser, but I guess, are you happy or not so happy after that?
Oh, it's a real mixed emotions. If a game encapsulated our season in one 90-minute segment, that was it. Rubbish first half, keeper having a stormer, somehow making saves that he hasn't made in years. Doing everything but score, hitting the post, hitting the bar, creating chances. I mean, when we got the penalty, I didn't look. I was like, oh, Jesus, this is a new way to not score now. fortunately, tucked it away. But it does kind of feel like 2 points thrown away. But at the end of it, if you think we've now scored a 97th-minute equaliser, yes, West Ham aren't very good. But nor are we, at the end of the day. We're bottom of the Premier League having scored two goals all season. So every team would be looking at us, licking their lips, thinking, Christ, we want to play Palace. So we've gone 2-0 down, where we've capitulated before, we haven't. We've come back in the second half, scored two goals, and should have won it if you read every report and listen to every single person that doesn't have West Ham tinted glasses on. So, yes, it's 2 points drop, but if you look at it, I think we have to look at a positive spin and... We have to take that 97th minute and the feeling and the momentum that could give us. That could be, looking back at it, the most important goal of our season.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Really good point. Does anyone think Sakho not being there really harmed us? Do you reckon he could have done anything about the goals?
No, again. I think, would he have got twisted inside out by Andre, like Scott Dan? Don't know. Would he have been on that side? Don't know. Yeah, would have been Tompkins instead. Might still be, it'd been Dan. I don't think so. Not with the second one. The first one, again, I don't think having Saka there makes any better. To me, what that showed us, what a striker does. Hernandez makes that run, nips in, gets ahead of the defender. We don't have that. And even with Benteke, we arguably don't have that either. So for me, Sakho's a great player. He adds so much to the team, but I don't think it'd make any difference with yesterday.
Yeah, no. I agree. And I guess favourite subject, Dale, Spironi. Can he done anything about it, Spironi versus Hennessy?
Look, and hopefully we can have a lot of people around the world listen to this. And there's a lot of people who've seen me defend, per se, Hennessy on Facebook. I'm not a pro Hennessy fan. I don't think he's a great goalkeeper. I do think he's better than Jules. I just think if he'd let in those two goals yesterday, he'd have got slated. I saw someone write on Facebook that if someone scores a worldie pass Hennessy, then fair enough. But Bristol City, the third goal was a great goal. I banged it in. I haven't seen a league championship player bang a ball like that before. And everyone's saying it's Hennessy's fault. Well, if he let in that one from AU, or if he got a hand from the one from Hernandez like Spironi did, people would be slating him. Bottom line is, we need a new goalkeeper. Bring back Steve Mandanda.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need a keeper.
Mate, I wait for the day when we finally hear the bloody Steve Mandanda story, how we got him and what happened.
But, mate, I just got to have a look at the clubs, the videos and the club social media last season. From about February onwards, he was in full training. There was all this talk that he was injured, he was this, he was that. He was in full training, so something went on there as to why he wasn't playing.
Yeah, but even getting him, I remember Steve Parrish saying he can't believe we signed him. There's a funny story behind it. One day I'll tell you. So I'm really interested. The whole thing.
Well, weren't we trying to sign Michy Batshuayi and that fell through. The next thing you know, we had Steve Mandanda, the French number two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Something's happened there. Yeah. Something happened on Steve Parrish's yacht in the south of France. yeah, so like Rob, like you said, basically that was a real sort of symbol of Palace's season. And I don't want to spend ages on this because it's been done to death, but I mean, sort of what's the essential problem with Palace this season? Can you sum it up, do you reckon?
We don't want to take too long, but Jesus. It's from the top down. I think there's problems from the top down for one. The recruitment didn't go well. We've had a goalkeeper that's probably shouldn't have been there for a season and a half because, for whatever reason, not good enough, confidence shot, shouldn't be there. You need a goalkeeper exuding confidence that goes through your back four. We've had a right back in there that hasn't been challenged for 4 years. You know, we started the season with a formation that wasn't going to work, players all over the shop, and now we're trying to get him, as we try to get a formation that does work, players are dropping out injured all over the shop. You know, you can't. There's not one thing you can put your finger on. This one has to go from the top down. Wrong decisions were made at the start. Players out of form, still getting played. Lack of squad depth as shown on Tuesday night with the your dirt trackers in inverted commas not showing the fight. I don't mind you losing going to Bristol City and losing 4-1 and them scoring four stunning goals. Who cares? We're out the cup. We don't need it. But when you're in the position we need those blokes to stand up and just fight, kick lumps, get booked, whatever. No one was doing that. And that's what we haven't seen at all. Even your Lucas and stuff, they're not putting in those crunching challenges and, you know, Sacco's not tackling the ref again and all that type of stuff. That's the type of stuff you need to see when you're down here. We don't want to see Man City football. We don't want to see that because we're not good enough. We don't have the players. What we do want to see is boys roll up their sleeves, get stuck in when they need to get stuck in and have that bit of mongrel about them. And, you know, once we start doing that and we're showing not that much of a pushover, the points will come. But, you know, on the Hennessy and Jules thing quickly, I think I'd argue that Hennessy should have saved that one on Tuesday. I think he bends over somehow. I don't even know how he gets his body in that position. But in saying that, I feel Jules should have at least got a hand to use one if he was a bit far out of his goal, and that he's 38 years old and hasn't got the spring anymore. Pure and simple. I'm 32 and I've never had spring in my life, so and I've lost some of that too. So, I mean, I'm not
reverse spring.
Exactly. I lie down pretty quickly. I'm not a professional goalkeeper, but these guys are playing in the Premier League. The Premier League, where they're paid a lot of money, and they're supposed to be the creme de la creme. And goalkeepers, as it's been said on every other podcast and every other message board, but goalkeepers are as good a striker at winning you points. And unfortunately, as much as I love Jules, neither of our goalkeepers are winning us any points.
100%.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And Mark, I mean, can we sort it out? Can we fix it?
I'd like to think so, obviously. I don't want to throw us under the bus just yet, but every week, you know, we start off and go, oh, well, you know, it's all right, there's 30-odd games left, and, you know, that's ticking by, and we're not getting points or marching up the ladder. So how long you can keep saying that and sort of sweeping it under the rug, so to speak. You know, time's going around. We just need points, and we need to turn around. There's just a lot of things. You know, I'm no football expert, but just a lot of rudimentary things over, say, the last 12 to 18 months that just Palace seem to get horribly wrong. Yeah. And seem
consistently horribly wrong.
Yeah, yeah, and it's almost like, you know, you're trying to balls this up. Like, I don't know. There's obviously a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't ever see or hear about, like same with Madonna and whatnot, and, you know, which is a coup, and then all of a sudden he's out the door, and, you know, to get on the keeping aspect of things, I think Hennessy gets slated a bit much for, you know, he gets some world, he's put past him, and everyone takes him to town on it. A lot no one's going to save, and you know, Jules is obviously the heartfelt favourite of a club. Yeah, I mean, I'm put my hand up for that, very much so, but realistically, this is not the guy going forward that's, you know, for the club. And, you know, what resources we have available, and unfortunately now the position we're in, we're becoming less attractive on a weekly basis for players to go to, as a club to go to. So, yeah, you know, I don't know, and then, you know, we'll go and shell out, you know, what, 30-odd million for a defender or something, and then, you know, you think, well, I want half that to fix, put this fire out over here, and it doesn't happen. Yeah, so, I don't know.
Silly, that. I guess the problem in January is going to be that, you know, we're going to have to sign players that are going to be happy to play in the Championship, because the chances are we're going to be there, you know. They're going to have to accept a Championship clause in their contract, and that's not going to be sort of top-shelf material, is it?
I think... we all know the transfer January window is bonkers anyway. And somehow last year we got it pretty much spot on with Luka and Mamadou Sakho coming in. As a Palace fan, you couldn't ask for any better than Sakho. And then when you did your research on who Luka was, you're like, wow, who's this guy? We'll take that, won't we? So, you know, I'm going to struggle. People are talking about getting Cesc Tosun from Turkey. That's going to Champions League football, and I don't think he's going to come and give that up for a relegation scrap. I just can't see it happening. Maybe if we're 17th, but not if we're 20th and have like 10, 15 points. I just don't see it happening.
No, totally. If you're a stable mid-table club, offer him a bit of cash, he'll be here. But yeah, not if you're playing Championship football next season. And I guess sort of just before we finish up, what's everyone's feelings if we do go down? End of the world or just suck it up?
Yeah, I think you just got to suck it up, really. It's not the end of the world, never will be. As I think Kevin Day on another podcast said, there's 15 clubs in the Premiership that probably at some point will be in the Championship. So it might be us this year. Most of that, we all know the players that will leave. And as long as we replace them with good standard other bottom of the Premiership players that are not getting picked for their clubs, and decent young boys coming through that can get us out of the Championship, we can stabilise a bit and bring ourselves up, build a squad again, get the camaraderie back, and, you know, it's the end of the world because we won't be able to watch it week in, week out over here, and we'll be back to looking at Twitter for our updates and stuff. But, you know, it won't be... The money's a big thing. I know that's the... Look, we're not the money men in the club. We're not the guys at the top, so it'll be at the end of the world for them for sure. But it's life, you know. It's just... At the end of the day, it's just football. And we'll have a lot more games in the Championship, so a lot more time for people to get annoyed at everything.
But I guess the question is, Mark, is can we come straight back up again? Or my worry is we're so bad now, it's one of those ones where momentum just sort of takes you down and you really struggle to get back up again.
Yeah, well, I think it's a quality league, the Championship. It's pretty hard to get out of. You know, it took us, 10-odd years to get back... by virtue of playoff, of course, to get out of this. So I'm almost thinking, to answer your first point of that question, we're going to probably, I think so. I'd love it if we didn't. But realistically speaking, you'd have to say yes. It could play out as a devil's advocate for a good clean out of the club. Sadly, we're going to lose some guns, obviously, you know, Wilf and so forth. But it might be what we need, mate. And if we need two or three seasons in the championship and bloody get back on board and right the ship and sort of take stocks of what's around us and going on, I'd like to think we'd come back up a lot. I would love it if we didn't spend 10 years trying to get back up. But, end of the world, I think a lot of people make out it's, well, that's it. We won't exist anymore. But, I mean, ultimately, yeah, there's a lot of good teams getting around in that. So we'll see.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I guess we should probably wrap up this part. And we're going to be back in part three talking about the Renf game that we played in yesterday. And we've got an interview with ex-Socceroo Paul Reid to play. All right. So we'll be back then. Okay, welcome back to the Exiled Eagles podcast, sponsored by Top Corner Recruitment. As I said in the last part, we played our annual Renf match against Seagulls Down Under yesterday. An honourable thrill draw. As per usual down there, it was 30-plus degrees. It is like playing on the surface of the sun.
Every year. I mean, those of you who don't know Sydney's weather, we are in spring and it generally is mid-20s, early 20s, which is nice. But every year we play this game, it is 30-plus degrees and it is killing.
Yeah, if you live in Sydney and you're planning to get married or planning to have a barbecue or something like that, last weekend in October, check that the Renf game is on because it's guaranteed hot weather, I promise
Butler,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, as sort of Mark pointed out, you know, he's from Queensland, he was hot, and he grew up in Croydon. So.
Yeah.
Cooking, mate, I could only imagine from Queensland, the Sunshine State, and I was boiling and not playing and drinking cold beer, and I was up against it, so, you lads from, from Croydon having to run about in that, mate, hats off to you. So. Yeah,
and you had a good day, Mark?
Cracking day, yeah, love it. I think it's my fourth year on the bounce, coming down now to just get down and catch up with the boys and support the charity, obviously, and it's great crack, good laugh, and we get out for the game afterwards of an evening, whoever we're playing. It's just a good day out. All the boys get together and another couple of guys. If you guys from interstate, there's two of us come down from Brisbane. If you're up from Melbourne.
Tasmania Supporters Club.
Yeah,
there.
One.
In their entirety. Yeah, just a great day, mate, and a good cause and a good laugh and crack and all that jazz.
Yeah, and how about a game, Dale? You're sort of player manager, probably the best way to describe you.
Yeah, look, I think first thing I want to say is that we had 24 players, which is brilliant because usually our biggest thing is not having enough players. Yeah. So it's great to have that number of players. Yeah, and you've got people like Big Kev, who literally, without taking the piss out of him, does play once a year, and that is it. Myself, first time I played in 8 months following an injury. It's just great to be able to go out there and play. The facilities are great. Thanks to the guys at Brighton Supporters Club and King's School for putting it on. But as a game itself, it's great to play. We've got some video footage. And we were passing the ball around, you know, Palace take note. it was really good fun, really good to be a part of it, and everyone really enjoyed today, and honourable three-all draw.
Honourable three-all draw, unfortunately we missed a penalty, which could have taken us over the line. Unfortunately, it's not the first time that's happened. we gave them a really good run for their money. They do a great job, and all the money goes to the John Moriarty Football Foundation, which is like an Indigenous football charity run by John Moriarty, who we hope to speak to maybe for the next podcast, because he's got a really interesting backstory. We'll get him on, let him tell you that story. And I guess the bee in our bonnet always when we play Seagulls Down Under is they have a couple of ex-pros in their team.
Yeah.
They didn't have Lloyd Owusu this year. But they did have Paul Reid, ex-Socceroos. Yeah. Well, it's a bit frustrating when he comes on the pitch, isn't it?
Yeah. First thing I'll say is that when Lloyd and Paul have played, they've been total gents about it, right? Only one time have I seen them get the ball. They actually did this from a kickoff because we brought it back to, I think, 5-4, 3-4, something like that. And they got the ball from the kickoff and they went half length of the pitch on their own and scored.
Yeah.
Fair play. That's the only time they've done that. They include everyone. They knock it around, but you just can't get close to him. Lloyd's 39, I think. Looks like he's about 19. Chiselled out of stone.
He's still a unit. It's
ridiculous. No, really, he probably isn't in the best nick. He'll admit it himself, but he's still playing National Premier League over here. So when you've got us a lot, ragtag from the pub, trying to get close to him, You know, I mean, the closest to him I got is my missus. I think got quite close to him. So I have a word with him about that as well. So, but yeah, you know, they're good guys. It's a bit tough playing against them, but yeah, it's what makes it fun. I think, you know, and it's 3-3 when they got an ex-pro playing. Take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, yeah, ex-pro scored two of their goals, but there you go. Speaking of the ex-pro, we've actually got an interview with Paul Reid. He was kind enough to give us sort of 5 minutes of his time. And yeah, he's a really, really great bloke. So we'll just go for that now, see what he had to say about the day.
Okay, so I'm here with ex-Socceroo, ex-Seagull, ex-Sydney FC, Paul Reid. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, very well. Nice to be here. I enjoy games like this, so...
Yeah, a bit of a backstory. Paul Reid's a bit of a nemesis for us. He sort of rocks up, pops a couple of goals in, and he did the same again today.
Yeah, I don't know him. I don't think I've scored a couple of goals in this game for a while, actually. I think I scored one last year and the year before, but not two, so I'm getting a bit older. I only have little stints of bursts on the field, but yeah, I enjoy games like this. It's always nice to play against Palace, and it's nice to play with the Brighton supporters because I had really fond memories of when I was playing at Brighton.
So how long were you at Brighton for?
I was there for 4.5 years. Left Brighton in 2008 to come back to Australia, but you know, had a really enjoyable time at Brighton. It's a great family club, and you know, I actually still have a place over there, so you know, I could. You know, if I retire and go back to England, I'd definitely live in Brighton because it's a great part of England to live in.
I agree. I'm from around that way. So, yeah. And the sooner you can retire and stop playing in this game and do us all a favour, that'd be great. And I was at Sydney FC last night. I saw you sort of pottering around there. What's your job down there?
I'm the community football manager at Sydney FC. So my last professional contract was at Sydney FC and I finished there in 2013. And after I left there, the club approached me and said, look, we think you'd be perfect for a role in the community. And I jumped at it. I actually used to do it when I was playing at Brighton as well, out of my own accord. I don't think the club actually knew I was doing all these community activities when I was playing for Brighton. So it's something I really enjoy. Get to coach kids, get to go to schools to coach kids, run clinics for kids. And, you know, I have a real passion for it. So to be involved in football, I can only be more than happy to keep being involved in football. So
I follow you on Twitter and I see all the posts you do. I can say generally it has a passion for it. It's not just for the radio. He's telling the truth.
Yeah, and you know, I've got young kids as well, which I coach as well. But you know, just to see a happy kid playing football, that's what I want to see. And the more kids that play football, the better for football in general.
Absolutely. And how do you feel football's come in Australia over the last sort of few years? You reckon it's growing and getting bigger? It definitely seems that way.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I even with my involvement at Sydney FC, you know, I go to schools and run clinics, and even the private schools have said to me, you know, 5 years ago rugby used to be the dominant sport. Now all the kids want to play football, which is great. And the numbers in these schools have definitely outgrown the other sports, which is always nice to see. I don't think we have a problem with getting kids to play football because the participation rates are always there. They're always going to be there because all kids want to play football. I think we just need to get those kids and families to support teams over here, because if you say to a kid who they support, it's always an English team or a European team, a Real Madrid, a Barcelona, and that's always nice because they're aware of football. But if they can start turning around and saying, look, I support Real Madrid plus then Sydney FC, that would be great. But, you know, I think that's where we fall down in Australia, but we're only quite new, so I'm sure that'll change in the future.
Yeah, I agree. Just as the quality of the league gets better, then hopefully, yeah, more people will come through the door and watch it. Yeah,
for sure.
And just a little bit about today. You had a good day. You've enjoyed yourself. You come down here every year. Obviously, you do.
Yeah. You know, I really enjoy days like this. You know, having played professionally, it's always very serious, and you know, you've always got to be on your game. But you come down here, I have a bit of banter with the Palace supporters as well. I know quite a few of them for the 5 years that I've been playing in this, and it's always nice to play in games like this. It's obviously for a charity, but it's nice just to have a kick around and play with your mates. So always up for it. I put it in my calendar, and I'll put it in my calendar for next year because I'm already looking forward to it.
That's a shame. That's a shame for us. I'm not afraid to tell you, we were at Sydney FC last night. We saw you on the side of the pitch. You were carrying this red bag, and we were discussing ways we could jump you and put you in the red bag and just hide you in a car till this game was over. But yeah, I didn't think it was a good idea with the security.
I think they might have known who it was anyway, considering the game was the next day. But
yeah, good point. All right, Paul Reid, thanks very much. Great for you to turn up, and great for you to talk to us. Thank you.
No problem at all. Enjoy.
Cheers. Thanks, Dave. Good man.
Okay, yeah, so that was ex-Socceroo, ex-Seagull, Seaweed, ex-Sydney FC player Paul Reid. And I guess that sort of brings us to the end of the podcast. This is our first one, so I hope it's been to everyone's enjoyment. We certainly had a good time doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Leave us a comment, let us know what you want us to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And yeah, any other sort of supporters groups, if they've got anything they want to say, it'd be great to get you on the phone or sort of meet up with you at some point. And yeah, get you on the podcast. All right, well, boys, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure, great to be here.
All right, great. See you later.
Bye-bye.